This is Caitlin Brewer with Mountain Express, and I'm here with TJ Thomason, and he is running for Asheville City Council, and we're just going to sit down and ask a couple of questions and find out a little bit more about himself and his campaign. So let's start out with the basics, something that everybody can answer. Just tell everybody, obviously your name is TJ Thomason, but your occupation, if you've had any political experience before now, and how long you've lived in Asheville. That'd be great.
I work as an assistant innkeeper at a local bed and breakfast.
Which one?
In Asheville, it's North Lodge on Oakland.
Gotcha.
So we're near AB Tech. I've been in Asheville for 6 years now. And it's the first time I ran for political office, but I've worked on several campaigns in the area. Patsy Kiever's campaign. I've volunteered with Cecil Bothwell's current campaign. And also done work with the Obama and Hillary campaign.
Gotcha. Yeah, because I noticed in the Scrutiny Hooligans blog, of course I had to go and read that, I noticed that you said that 2008, that campaign really kind of got you fired up about politics. Can you explain that a little bit more for me in a little bit of detail?
Yeah, it was just, I originally was a Hillary Clinton supporter, but obviously, coming from my perspective as a progressive, the ultimate goal was to not have another George Bush elected in the form of McCain Palin, so I definitely jumped on the Obama bandwagon right after the primary was decided, and he just really inspired me to come out and get people to come out and vote and work on his campaign, and just, I was really excited when he was elected, and I'm glad that America's on the path that it's on compared to where it could have been if we had elected someone else.
Is it true that you have an Obama tattoo?
Yes, I do.
You do? Where is that?
It's on my left shoulder.
Gotcha. I thought that was the case. So, as you know, then, working with politicians a little bit through some of those campaigns that you mentioned earlier, it can't all be glittering generalities. It can't all just be the phrases and the buzzwords. So we're going to get down a little bit of the nitty-gritty. And I'm curious as to what specific steps you would take to address Asheville's lack of affordable housing, how you would tackle that?
With affordable housing, one thing I really like that I've read some about is the mixed housing that went to city council meeting about a month ago, and are really exploring this with Lee Walker Heights to try just to redevelop that project, because it's like a lot of our housing projects in the city, I call it infrastructure discrimination, because these people are landlocked. There's usually just one way in and one way out, and really think it just sets everybody that lives there up for harder conditions. And I'd really like to see the city look at more, getting more of these grants to sort of redevelop, have mixed housings where you have low income and middle income all living in the same community. Then that will just build community, because we'll know our neighbors, and knowing your neighbors and knowing your community can really make a big impact on reducing crime, I believe.
So that it's not so polarized, so it's not you're driving into Hillcrest and you are in Hillcrest and you go over those speed bumps and you're in a different world almost. You want it to be a little bit more integrated and not so, like I said, polarized and almost stuck on the outskirts.
Yeah, that's what we really need to address when it comes to affordable housing, and this redoing how we see things. I don't think things should have been done the way they were done when those projects were built back.
Can you elaborate on that? What things you didn't agree with?
Well, I just think the city planners, and at that time they just wanted to get the housing projects and put them in just pods. I was calling them pods because it's like there's this land that they put on, especially the Hillcrest, the land was used for nothing, so they decided to put a housing project there, and it worked at the time because they wanted to use the land, wanted to give people some low income or even free housing. So I think it worked then, but now we're at a different time where we need to not seclude people. We need to all be a part of Asheville.
Makes sense. Cool. So being a part of Asheville is also about getting around Asheville. So I have to ask a question about how, especially as a runner, because you're a runner, and it's very clear in your campaign that you definitely take pride in the fact that you are a runner, but also as an Asheville resident yourself, do you think that we need to improve the Asheville transit system? And if so, how would you plan to do it, especially in regards to funding, because that's what it all narrows down to?
Yeah, definitely the transit system is something we need to change, because I want to drive as little as possible, and I've attempted to ride the bus, and I have found where I could ride the bus to work, and depending on my schedule, I would have to find a different way home, because either the bus service stops at 11 and I get off at 11, so that would prevent me from being able to take the bus home. So I think that we need to look at extending the hours some, and just the routes that are really, really heavily used, we need to double up and have more of those routes. And the biggest problem with the transit is the fact right now that every bus goes to the central terminal. So like a couple of years ago, I wanted to take the bus because I actually didn't have a car at the time. And I could walk to work in 45 minutes. If I wanted to ride the bus, it would take about 2 hours to go get a transfer and go out Tunnel Road. So it definitely needs to improve its efficiency. And I think the Transit Master Plan addresses a lot of those issues. And definitely Sunday service is a big thing that I've always wanted to see in Asheville. But as you said, the funding is a big key, especially during our current economic times. But I really think we really need to view public transit like we do our streets. If the streets are in disrepair, we find the funding. And I look at the bus system the same way, that it's in disrepair, so we can find the funding. I'd be in favor of a bond referendum to raise money to implement the bus transit, because if you get this implemented, it will get more and more people riding a bus, which will bring more revenue into the transit system. So in the long haul, we would make that money back with just like a temporary bond referendum.
So that would be your primary focus, would be getting that bond referendum, because you kept saying to find the funds. Yeah. Is that how you think that those funds could be found?
Yeah, because I think I've looked at the budget, and I really don't see a lot of places where I would really want to cut, and definitely I'm not in favor of raising property taxes. So I think a bond referendum, and I work in the tourism industry, so, and I know I've read about how our hotel occupancy rate has been really improving this year compared to last year. So I would even look at maybe a small increase in the occupancy tax rate. So I think if we raise it like a quarter of a cent, then we could get our tourists helping to fund our sidewalks and our bike lanes and helping the bus system. And I think just a tiny increase is not going to affect the tourism, because Asheville is a place everybody wants to come, and if they have to pay an extra $5 or $10 for a hotel, I don't see that affecting them coming to Asheville.
Gotcha. And you actually just mentioned that you weren't really in favor of cutting very much at all, and the budget funds right now are very tight. But let's say we face another downfall in regards to the budget. How would you plan to deal with it, especially if you had to make cuts? Let's say there is no way around it. You know, reality's hitting really hard, that something has to get cut, or maybe even multiple things have to be cut. If you were elected, what would those things be? And then on the flip side, if there was a revenue, where would you want to distribute that money?
I guess I'll look at the positive first. If we have a revenue, I would like to see us really put it toward more bike lanes and improving our sidewalks. And one big issue with the sidewalks is crosswalks, because we have a lot of new sidewalks, but we haven't really put in the crosswalks. And until recently in Biltmore Village, they had crosswalk signs that all the time just had a big red hand, until I noticed in the last month that they actually started working. So Biltmore Village area really needs those signs to be working. I'm glad they are now. We just need to make sure we have those signs and safe crosswalks for pedestrians walking around town. And so that's where I would put the money in, really, the mass transit. Because one of my campaign goals is to get more and more people out of their cars and walking, riding their bike, riding the bus. And because a walkable city will make a healthier city. Because the top 10 healthiest cities in America are also the top 10 walkable cities.
And when you say walkable city, are you referring to a specific part of Asheville? Because obviously downtown is very walk-friendly. Recently, there was a North Asheville community meeting where walkability was a huge concern. What about West Asheville? What about South Asheville? Do you see it as, if that is, one, like you said, a major campaign goal, where would you want to at least start focusing on that issue of walkability? I know you said the signs and Biltmore Village, but it's tough. Asheville, yeah. We're all spread out.
Yeah, we need to really address. I think they've done a good thing with the new sidewalks they put in. They've pinpointed the priorities, but definitely South Asheville, especially down Hendersonville Road, there's long stretches where there's no sidewalk. We need sidewalks in South. We need better sidewalks in North. And East Asheville has had a long history of having really poor sidewalks, and they really started coming a long way there. In West Asheville, it would be nice if it was easier to walk to downtown from West Asheville, which just the 240 creates a big hassle and an extra long way to walk. But the bike lanes that they put in to connect West Asheville to the Riverish District, I think, is really helping making it at least a rideable city. So I'd put rideable and walkable almost in the same thing, because people aren't going to walk from way West Asheville to downtown anyway.
Just curious. We have to get back to the part that you skimmed over there.
Yeah.
What would you cut?
What would I cut?
There's no way around it. Tough decisions.
That is a tough question. I would really look at the current budget to see what we can cut. Well, my first thing is myself. So we have a big trash can, the big green trash can, and we compost and we recycle. And every week when the trash comes to pick up my green trash can, it's hardly half full. So one place I could immediately look is maybe changing trash pickup to every 2 weeks, like recycling. That would encourage or almost force people to do more composting, to recycle, and just take better care of what their trash is. And that would be one way to cut some of the budget. It's really a tough issue. I would actually look at the salaries. Anyone making over $100,000, I would look at to see if the salaries could be trimmed a little bit if we were faced with a big deficit. But because I know our city employees haven't had a raise in 3 years now, so that's one area that I would like to look at. Like if we had revenue, I'd look at finally giving our city employees a raise that they haven't had in 3 years.
So when you say anyone making more than $100,000, who are you referring to specifically? Just anybody in general? Or I wasn't sure if you were referring to city employees or...
I was referring to city employees. Like, a thought would be anyone making over $100,000, we could, like, give them a temporary 2% cut. Another area I would look, that would actually be the last thing I'd want to do, is cut anyone's salary. But one thing I could see that we could cut would be travel expenses. Because in today's time, we can do a lot of teleconferencing. So I would say put a travel freeze if we're under dire straits, that we don't do any traveling unless it's an extreme emergency. And I think that would cut some money as well.
Gotcha. All right. It is a tough question, but it's one that has to be asked with these economic times right now. And speaking of other tough issues, relationships with Raleigh, Asheville's relationship with Raleigh, it's been considered to be a little bit strained, a little bit tight, a little bit difficult. So if you were elected, what exactly would you want to do to improve Asheville's relationship with Raleigh, since there have been those concerns about centralized power and those fears, I suppose?
Yeah, I would really like to reach out to Raleigh, and so I know generally the philosophy, since the Republicans are now in control, the Republican philosophy is for smaller government, and I really don't see how it's smaller government if they're reaching the state hands into the local pot and trying to control how Asheville is running our city. I would just really like to have good conversations with Raleigh to try to come to understanding that the people here in Asheville know best what Asheville needs. Because in terms of merging the Buncombe County and the Asheville City Schools, which I know they had a push for that, Buncombe County Schools and Asheville County Schools, neither one want to merge into one, because they're really two totally different systems. They're a lot different. I think it really would create a lot of issues in terms of there's different mindsets that are running Buncombe County Schools, different mindsets of the students that are going to the county schools, and different ones that are in the city schools. So that's one thing I would like to protect, to keep Asheville City Schools separate and not us be forced to merge together. And we must also do everything we can to protect our water system, along with the airport. So there's two sort of fights that we have ahead, and I hope they can be meaningful conversations. Have liked more of what I read about Tim Moffitt recently, since he's the one that's brought a lot of these issues to Raleigh. He does seem to be listening to the voters now. When at first it was looked like he was just going for a big power grab, but now he's seen the big reaction from Asheville, and I'm sure he wants to be reelected, so he needs to listen to the voters and listen to what they want for Asheville. And we need to protect what Asheville has paid for, the water system and the airport, and just to keep the schools the way they are.
So it sounds like transparency and open communication and accountability seem to be driving how you would handle.
Yeah, especially with Tim Moffitt, even with the LGBT, the anti-gay marriage amendment, he really seems to be open to listening to the views of people, because he still says he hasn't decided how he's going to vote on that issue. And I know we've been doing a lot of phone calling to try to convince him to vote against it, and to vote with the majority of the Democrats, and not just vote with the Republicans, and not just put this on the ballot just so more Republicans can get elected, because we shouldn't be using gay marriage as an issue just to get more votes.
Which, that's an interesting point, since if people don't know, you are running as an openly gay candidate. And a city that is largely very accepting of the LGBT community. And that being said, what do you think you would really bring to city council as a gay candidate? It's not San Francisco in the 70s, you know. There's not that level of concern, but there are still concerns, obviously. So what would you bring to the table right now? What are some things that you would really be fighting for the gay community? And would you still be able to have that open-minded ear to listen, even if what they say regarding your sexuality might not sound so great?
Yeah, that's a good point. With the LGBT issues, the biggest thing I see right now actually goes back to the Equality Resolution Council passed earlier this year. The big piece of that was the anti-bullying ordinance, which has still not been implemented and still is not on the books. I'd really like to pressure the city attorney to come back to council with how the ordinance should read, and so we can go ahead and get that implemented so we can start protecting people and hopefully prevent some of the hate crimes from happening that have happened in recent months around Asheville. That's my first priority, and I really just think for the LGBT community to have a voice on city council, because I've seen statistics anywhere from 10% to 14% of Asheville is LGBT. So I think it would make them proud to have someone to look at that they can come to with their issues. And I know most of the council is very open.
Yes, and the equality resolution recently passed too without much dispute, which is, it just shows that reflection of the kind of city that Asheville is. But you really do think that as a gay candidate, being on city council would really help, from what I can tell, really make sure that representation is happening.
Yeah, I really think it would help to educate those people that may not be as open-minded if they see that one of us is just a regular person, is the whole education key. Like if this anti-gay marriage amendment makes it to the ballot, our big commitment will be to educating the people of North Carolina that we don't need discrimination and bigotry put into our Constitution, and that we're regular people, and we just need more and more people to come out. And I think more and more people that come out will educate those around them to be more open-minded and more accepting and more welcoming and not preaching to hate.
Gotcha. That being said, since we're talking about the way you're running your campaign, how do you expect to win? What's your plan? How are you going to win? How are you going to be elected to city council?
Well, other than just the big issues of wanting more sidewalks and more bike lanes and wanting a more LGBT-friendly community, because Asheville's probably as friendly as you're going to get in the South. My big issue comes, another big issue, I'm very passionate about the environment and sustainable development. I live in the Kenilworth community, and Kenilworth has been affected by some less than sustainable development that has been passed by City Council. And to me, it feels like what the community wanted was ignored by City Council, because they signed a petition to have it rezoned to protect the community from having a large apartment complex built, and City Council came up a couple votes short of the supermajority to rezone it, since Jan Davis and Bill Russell did not vote with the rest of the council to rezone it. So environment and sustainable development is a big issue for me. There's a lot of projects that have been approved that I wouldn't have approved if I was on city council.
For example?
I wouldn't have voted for the 151 Biltmore project. That large hotel that's going to Biltmore is really out of character with the rest of the buildings around there. And the big point is I don't like the large amount of money that the city is giving away. And it's going to take 50 years for the city to get their money back. And I just don't see that as something we need to do to get businesses downtown Asheville.
Very interesting. Well, that being said, is there anything else that you would really like the people of Asheville to know about you as a candidate running for city council that they may not know?
Well, one thing we haven't mentioned a lot is job creation. Mm-hmm. And what I really think Asheville needs to look at in bringing more jobs to Asheville is doing what they've done with the River Arch District. They've attracted Richard Florida has done a lot of research. He calls it the creative class. It's this group of entrepreneurs that are coming to Asheville. They're the artists. They're the people that are bringing the tourists here. So we need to continue to have incentives to attract these people. We need more of the River Arch District all around Asheville. And I think if we just continue to have incentives to bring these people to Asheville, it will just make for a more booming. People will come up with different businesses to create, green businesses like Brownie Newman, who's leaving city council to manage his green business that's really exploded. It's one of the biggest explosions of green companies in America, and we just need more and more of those type businesses to develop. So I would like to see us have more incentives, and I think the equality resolution and the city offering same-sex benefits really attracts this creative class, because they're progressive. They're not necessarily gay, but some of them are. So they want to come to a city that's accepting of all people. So we need to continue to have incentives from social issues to economic benefits.
Okay, I was going to ask about incentives, because you kept saying it over and over, and I was curious if incentives, especially for the creative class that you're talking about to get them here, if that's monetary incentives, since that's kind of, monetary incentives are kind of tough to find right now.
Yeah, well, I would say the social incentives are the big thing, and we do have low interest loans that not necessarily the city is putting out, but we have like BizWorks is really helping businesses get off the ground, and I just think the city has a great environment to support something like BizWorks, helping small people start businesses, and this will be a booming. I don't think the city is at a place right now where they can really offer monetary incentives other than trying to keep the rent low in those developing areas.
Well, I don't think that I have much more for you at all, but I really appreciate you coming out and speaking with me this evening. I really do.
Thank you.